ISO NEED Details Inputs for Capacity Auction Reform Impact Analysis, written by John Lamson and read by an automated voice. ISO New England outlined its methodology for analyzing potential effects of its capacity auction reform, or CAR project at the NEED Pool Markets Committee meeting January 14, detailing resource mix and load inputs for the near and longer-term base cases and potential factors to be considered in sensitivity analyses. The RTO plans to present the initial results of the impact analysis starting in March and will work with stakeholders to develop sensitivities building on the two base cases. This analysis will provide stakeholders with a better understanding of how CAR may impact how much capacity they can sell and wholesale market revenues and costs under specific scenarios, as well as other key parameters, said Chris Geisler, Director of Economic Analysis at ISO NEE. The near-term base case seeks to use assumptions that are broadly in line with expected system conditions for CCP capacity commitment period 19, said Fei Zung, Manager of Planning Services at ISO NEE. CCP 19 will procure capacity for the 2028-29 commitment period. ISO New England aims to implement both phases of the CAR project for this period. The first phase of CAR, filed with FERC at the end of 2025, centers around implementing a prompt capacity auction and resource deactivation reforms. The second phase centers around resource capacity accreditation and the development of seasonal capacity commitment periods. The RTO plans to rely on resource mix modeling assumptions from the most recent annual reconfiguration auction, adjusting the mix based on planned deactivations, underdevelopment resources that have withdrawn from critical path schedule monitoring and resources that qualified in the 2025 interim qualification process. The resource mix assumptions result in about 37,500 megawatts of non-intermittent qualified capacity and about 2,000 megawatts of intermittent qualified capacity. To estimate demand, ISO NEE will use the 2028-29 load forecast from its 2025 Capacity, Energy, Loads and Transmission, or KELT report. For the longer-term modeling base case, ISO New England plans to use the 2025 KELT demand forecast for 2035. The RTO plans to approximate the resource mix for 2035 by adding 2,000 megawatts of offshore wind, 200 megawatts of utility solar, and 200 megawatts of two-hour batteries. These resource additions may be aligned with a conservative approximation on progress toward the state's public policy by this time frame and are meant to serve as a starting point to build from, Geisler said. Some stakeholders expressed concern that the longer-term base case includes too little storage at too short of a duration. In response, ISO NEE emphasized that conservative assumptions should help provide a good point of comparison for subsequent sensitivity analyses evaluating increased levels of storage and renewable penetration. For both base cases, the impact analysis will provide information on estimated effects on the net installed capacity requirement, marginal reliability impact demand curves, and seasonal relative MRI values and MRI capacity by resource type, he said. ISO New England previously presented initial impact analysis results associated with its resource capacity accreditation project, which the RTO incorporated into the broader CAR project in 2024. These results indicated significant capacity revenue boost for imports, energy efficiency, non-intermittent hydropower, dual-fuel generators and nuclear plants, along with revenue declines for energy storage, oil-only resources, hybrid resources and active demand response. Building on the base case modeling, ISO New England plans to run sensitivity analyses based on stakeholder recommendations. Potential sensitivities could alter factors related to heating and transportation electrification, behind-the-meter generation, renewable and storage development, and retirements of oil-fired generators. Because ISO NEE's proposed MRI accreditation approach is intended to compensate resources for their reliability contributions during the hours with greatest shortfall risk, changes to the load profile or resource mix could significantly affect resource accreditation by shifting when these hours occur. One stakeholder expressed concern that the 2025 KELT report does not include large loads expected to come online and urged the RTO to consider running a sensitivity analysis that considers the effects of this potential demand. ISO New England indicated this may be challenging due to the lack of well-established evaluation frameworks. ISO New England plans to give a follow-up presentation on the impact analysis in February and has requested stakeholder feedback on its proposed approach. Gas capacity demand curve. Also at the Markets Committee meeting, ISO New England continued discussion on its proposal for a new gas capacity demand curve intended to account for generators' limited access to pipeline gas during cold weather periods. The current rules, which do not account for the region's gas constraint, create a money-for-nothing problem by fully accrediting gas-only resources that may not be able to run when pipeline access is limited, said Stephen Otto, Manager of Economic Analysis at ISO NEE. While ESO New England initially proposed to account for gas constraints within the accreditation process, it has shifted its approach due to concerns about how gas would be allocated to different resources. Under the current accreditation proposal, the RTO would model gas-only resources without fuel limits. When gas availability is constrained, the inclusion of the gas capacity demand curve in the winter capacity market would affect the quantity of gas capacity procured and its settlement price in the same way that an export-constrained capacity zone demand curve affects the procurement and settlement price of export-constrained capacity zone capacity, the RTO noted in a January 7 memo. Otto said the changes are essential for sending accurate market signals, procuring the most cost-effective mix of capacity, and preventing reliability issues associated with relying on gas capacity that is unable to perform during cold weather. The proposal likely would provide an incentive for gas resources to enter firm fuel arrangements that would exempt the resources from the gas capacity demand curve. Intermittent resource accreditation. ESO New England also discussed its proposed approach to accrediting intermittent resources. It plans to use hourly profiles for all intermittent resources. It would construct hourly wind and solar profiles based on resource characteristics and historical weather patterns, and it would construct profiles for run-of-river hydropower, landfill gas, municipal solid waste, wood and biogas generation based on historical output data. The RTO plans to model all non-settlement-only intermittent resources on an individual basis and model settlement-only intermittent resources on an aggregated basis, grouped by load zone and IPR type, said Hannah Jalas of ISONE. This aggregation would apply only to solar and intermittent hydro resources, and the RTO would not rely on aggregates for groups made up of fewer than 10 resources, Jalas added. ISONE plans to continue discussions on intermittent resource modeling and accreditation at the Markets Committee meeting in February.